Okay, we'll do it this way. Hey, Lucky.
Hey
How you
Linda,
doing?
I'm okay. You?
Pretty good. I'm really grateful that we get to do this together.
I'm grateful too. Hello everyone. I'm an addict named Lucky.
And I'm an addict named Linda.
Hey Linda.
Tonight we're going to read the information pamphlet. Number seven, am I an addict? And bear with me because my reading out loud is not my favorite skill, but I did learn how to read out loud in Narcotics Anonymous.
I can relate.
All right, so it starts out, am I an addict? Only you can answer this question. This may not be an easy thing to do. Although our usage, all through our usage, we told ourselves, I can handle it. Even if this was true in the beginning, it is not so now. The drugs handled us. We live to use and use to live. Very simply, an addict is a man or a woman whose life is controlled by drugs. They changed that. Says it is a person whose life is controlled by drugs. Perhaps you admit you have a problem with drugs, but you don't consider yourself an addict. All of us have preconceived ideas about what an addict is. There's nothing shameful about being an addict once you begin to take positive action. If you can identify with our problems, you may be able to identify with our solution. The following questions were written by recovering addicts in Narcotics Anonymous. If you have doubts about whether or not you're an addict, take a few moments to read the questions below and answer them as honestly as you can. I got to tell you, Lucky, the first time I picked up this IP, as we call it, I didn't want to open it up. I
I know.
really, I was afraid, you know?
Know for me, addict ain't lucky. When I first picked it up, my sponsor had asked me, he said, do you want to, you should go over and look at the IP number seven, am I addict? He told me there's some nice questions in there. And as I was going through them, I just remember answering all yes, and I'm like, holy crap, because I didn't have a problem admitting that I was an addict, but the way they put this stuff down, I thought it was written for me, in the beginning of my recovery, today is totally different, but I can relate on a lot of things. Like it says right here on this, number two, have you ever substituted one drug for another, thinking that one particular drug was the problem? And I remember, when I first started using, my drug of choice was heroin, and I just couldn't shake it. I just remember, using against my will, and then eventually, I finally heard of this thing called methadone, and I remember somebody telling me, if I wanted to stop using, that would help me. And I remember getting on that methadone and thinking that it was going to solve the problem, which it did for a while. But eventually, I went back out and used, and I remember a lot of times substituting one drug for another, thinking that if I can just stop using heroin, everything else would be okay, like drinking and cocaine and stuff like that. And I always end up right back to my drug of choice, which is really more now when I have, thought about it. So that's my experience.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that too myself. I think one of the reasons why I was afraid to open this IP initially was because I was afraid of the truth, even though I lived the truth all the time, and I hated my existence. So for me, I was I was definitely, I had my standards, and I don't know that I would have called them values because I'm not sure I knew what values were. But right here on number four, where it says, "Have you ever stolen drugs or stolen drugs or stolen to obtain drugs?" And I remember thinking, "I'm not a liar, a cheat, a thief, you know." But I gotta tell you, the road seemed really long on a short pavement. I was in no time that I was like looking for you to fall asleep or looking in your medicine cabinet when I went over to your house if you were, whatever. So yeah, I became that thief to get more and, just to live to use and use to live. It's amazing.
Yeah, I remember opening up this IP too, and it was like 29 questions of yes and no answers. And a lot of them stood out to me, but I want to share a little bit on number five. Do you regularly use drugs when you wake up or when you go to bed? And like I said, my drug of choice was more, but the first drug that I ever used coming from Chicago. And I was born and raised there, was like I say, heroin. And it had got to the point when at the end of the road, when I couldn't use with it or without it, I had to have it when I wake up and I had to have it when I went to sleep. You know, pretty much that drug took control of my life till I did whatever it told me to do. And I'm super grateful for Narcotics Anonymous for this new way of life, you know, and that's why I encourage my sponsees today to. When they fresh coming in to pick up this IP, number seven, am I addict, you know, and give yourself a break and answer these questions. 'Cause, you know, I wouldn't have never even thought or, you know, think about coming in this program and, you know, reading like I do in the literature, but I'm grateful.
Yeah. Life is so different after I was able to finally get honest with myself. That was a whole process though, Lucky, because I was coming in, getting a paper signed, had another nudge from another judge, as they say, and I was doing a lot of things, kind of mimicking what other people were doing, but eventually I sat down with the basic text and started writing with it about honesty because we didn't have a step working guide back then. And I was writing about honesty, and I had a spiritual awakening in my grandma's kitchen that I could not remember the last time I had been honest with myself. And so that broke my heart. Totally broke my heart. So when I look at these questions, like number 18, have you ever questioned your own sanity? I don't know that I would have admitted it when I was going through, the lifestyle, but I gotta tell you, as soon as I came in and started doing meetings, it took me 18 months that I was cleaner than I had ever remembered being. And when I started writing about honesty and I looked at the insanity that my life had become and how I didn't trust you, I didn't trust me. I mean, my life was completely unstable as a result of addiction. And so that was a process for me to come to admit that,
Wow, that's amazing. And it's a lot of things that I can relate in here, Linda. But another one stood out to me was number eight. Have you ever used a drug without knowing what it was or what it would do to you? And I was just thinking, you know, the first time that ever happened to me, I think I was about maybe 11. I remember my friend in Chicago, you know, really wasn't a friend, but, you know, a friend, he told me if I had $2, and he told me he was going to get some weed to go get a joint. And I came up with $2. I don't know how. I gave him the $2, and when he came back, we were smoking something supposed to be weed. I never smoked weed before. And come to find out afterwards, it was some stuff called leaf, and that's bumming fluid. And I remember smoking that stuff, and I tripped out for like 2 weeks. You know, my mom them didn't know what happened to me. I was seeing double visions and triple stop signs, and you know, it was real bad, you know. And that's the first time I ever took something that I didn't know what it was, and it didn't stop there. You know, I continued to use eventually, but that's my experience with question number eight.
Wow, and what was that stuff called?
Leaf, that's what it's called. Bumming, it's called leaf.
Oh,
They call it,
embalming.
yeah, wiki stick, they call it wiki.
Oh my.
Yeah, they call it different, you know, it's different words for it in different places, but in Chicago they call it leaf or water, or you know, it's their bumming fluid with their bodies, but I didn't know, and it was in a joint form, and I had lost it. I had to go to the hospital at a young age. My mom, she even took me to the church to get prayed over because it lasted so long, you know. But
Oh,
yeah.
that's scary. You know, we did stuff like that on our, I mean, you know, eventually our life became about that. And it's amazing now looking back at it, it's like, I can't believe I did that and lived through it, right? And I know that there's a lot of people listening to this right now that, I mean, it's a trip that we live through this kind of stuff. You know, and what do they say? What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And that's totally been true. I mean, yeah, I just think back, you know, being in elementary school and having glue at my desk and chewing on it or smelling it or whatever we were doing, you know. So one of the other things, 27, gosh. And some of these are just heartbreaking. Still, even have you ever overdosed on any drugs? And I can remember when the answer was no for a very long time. And then one time in a bust, and I had to swallow everything. And it was not in a regular packaging. It was in cellophane, and it broke open in my stomach. And I remember going through county jail, and I was overdosing. And you know, I was shaking and like convulsions, if you will. And I remember the judge was like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "I'm just cold, you know," and I'm trying to play it off, but man, I didn't know, you know, I had no idea of what was going on in my body, and here I am incarcerated. And I did get let go that time, and I remember the insanity of addiction is that I thought, "Wow, I want to go do that again." That's the insanity. And oh, that's takes me back.
Oh, that's amazing, the life we get to live today. I was just looking on here now, and things are just popping up in my head, like question number 21. Have you ever felt defensive, guilty, or ashamed about using? And I remember getting on methadone in 2019 before I found Narcotics Anonymous, and me finding Narcotics Anonymous in 2020. Coming into the fellowship and how our literature talks about abstinence from any mind mood altering substance. And I remember coming in here, really didn't want to share about I was on a maintenance program, you know, because I started listening to you guys and I started reading the literature and you know, but I held on to that clean date. I would, now that I know it's not, but that's just, for me. But I held on to that for a while, and I really felt ashamed about being on that medication. And eventually, I was able to change my clean date and get his program, a try, because I wanted to see what it was to be on off any mind and mood altering substance. So I changed my clean date to 2020 of September 30th, because September 29th of 2020 was the last day I took my last dose of methadone. And since then, I can say I've been clean from any mind, mood, altering substance. Thank God for the program and the people loving me and didn't judge me when I got here. So that really stood out to me. And today I feel no guilt or no shame, because I know I'm doing the best, to the best of my ability. I'm working a honest program.
Yeah, I can relate to that because when I was telling you, it took me 18 months to like come to and be honest with myself. That's exactly what happened was I realized that, I was still manipulating and justifying, stopping. I was on intense probation, so I would have to write down and be where I said I was going to be down to 5 minutes at a time. And so sometimes I'd walk home from my home group and I would stop at Circle K and I would get some kind of, liquid drug, alcohol, and guzzle it real quick and then go home and be where I'm supposed to be. But I didn't look at it like it was using. I didn't even stop to think about that until that one day that I was writing about honesty, and I was like, oh. And as heartbreaking as that was for me, I went to my home group and I got honest about, I haven't been clean like I've been saying I was clean. And that day when I went home, it was like, oh man, I had left the backpack. I dropped it off at the home group and I was lighter than I had ever felt because now I was walking my truth, And but that's a, I don't know that any of us come in here into recovery, totally abstinent. I mean, there's a lot of us that don't, and it's a process.
And I'm super grateful too, because you guys didn't judge me when I came to Narcotics Anonymous. You guys say, we'll love you till you love yourself. And I remember my sponsor telling me that, that was between me, my higher power, and my sponsor. And I'm super grateful that, I was able to make that choice. I'm super, super grateful to even find Narcotics Anonymous, because today my life is totally different now that I look back and, read some of these questions. I'm super grateful to have over 4 years and, a little bit over 4 months.
It's amazing to me that, just some logistics. When I got here, I think we were in like maybe I don't know how many countries, but now we're in like 143 countries. It amazes me. Sometimes we even see posts from Iran or Iraq or Sweden and stuff like that, and I just think, wow, my world has opened up as a result of recovery. I think about addicts on the other side of the earth, and when I was in my disease, the only person I ever thought about was me.
That'd be correct. I learned. I was just thinking too, could we get honest in here? I said 4 years and a little bit over 4 months. So it's 4 years and almost 4 months. On the 30th of this month, it would be 4 years and 4 months. So I had to think about that. I was like, I don't want these guys to be like, hold on, this guy say his clear date was September 30th of
Second,
20.
yeah.
So I'm super
It's fun.
grateful. And you also touched on question 27. Have I ever overdosed on any drug? And that just took me back to in 2016. I remember going on vacation, thinking my disease was on vacation, and going back to the old people, places, and things. And I remember going on the west side, going to see my brother-in-law, and that's when fentanyl was out pretty bad. And I remember going to cop a bundle from him, and not even thinking twice, I just took it out the bag, and I snorted it, and all I remember was walking to a barber shop on the west side of Chicago, walking to a barber shop, and going in that barber shop with my brother-in-law, well, both of my brother-in-laws, and that's all I remember. And I woke up in the hospital, which my real brother had saw us going in there, and he saw my brother-in-law and them coming out and me not coming out. And so when my brother walked up, they had told him something wrong with Lucky in there. He's foaming at the mouth. And I remember my brother picking up my dead weight. He said, that's what he told me. I don't remember. He was picking up my dead weight. But by then, my brother-in-law had took all my money out of my pocket and my jewelry off my neck and pretty much left me for dead. And when I got to the hospital, my brother told me that the doctor told him I wasn't going to make it. And I just remember waking up cold, and me waking up and my family was all around me. And I still remember after I just died, I still remember I had some of that stuff left. And I remember you talking about sanity. And I woke up and I was cold after I overdosed. And I was like, I remember I had that stuff on me. And my mind was telling me, you did too much at one time. You should have just did a little key at a time. And even though I just died, I went to my mom's house after I left the hospital. And I did a little key of it. And I remember doing that little key and I didn't die. And I said, that's what I did. I did too much, and I finished the wet dress. And I think back on stuff like that. And, they talk about sanity, and I'm super grateful that that's not my life today. I woke up this morning without the desire to use. And I never thought in a million years I'll be saying something like that out of my mouth, and it gets real deep too, but I'm just looking and going over these questions as we both talking. And it amazes me how all I had to do is, like they talk about, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. And that's all I had, was the desire to do something different.
Let me ask you, when's the last time, can you remember the last time that you wanted to use a substance to change the way you feel?
Oh my God. The last time I wanted to use a substance to change the way I feel was in 2019 when I chose to get on methadone. And that was to not feel. That was to not feel sick, not to be dope sick, and yeah, pretty much not feel, but I didn't know how to stop. I knew that it worked for me before, and but it didn't last, for too long. Eventually I went back out and start it again. But that's why I say I'm super grateful for Narcotics Anonymous, that we talk about that any addict can stop using drugs, you lose the desire to use and find a new way to live, and it didn't cost me anything.
I think the last time that I wanted to change the way I feel was like going, I don't know, going and doing some kind of physical activity or maybe doing like a sport like rock climbing or something, but it wasn't, I didn't think about a substance. I think the last time that I wanted to use was it was years back. And so I think that that's one of the things that we do here is we learn how to feel our feelings and not have to change them. And just like at the end of this IP, it talks about we were searching for an answer when we reached out and found Narcotics Anonymous. We came to our first NA meeting in defeat and didn't know what to expect. After sitting in a meeting or several meetings, we began to feel that people cared and were willing to help, just like what you were talking about. Although our minds told us we would never make it, the people in the fellowship gave us hope by insisting that we could recover. Surrounded by fellow addicts, we realized that we were not alone anymore. Recovery is what happens in our meetings. Our lives are at stake. We found that by putting recovery first, the program works. We faced three disturbing realizations. One, we were powerless over our addiction, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, although we're not responsible for our disease, we are responsible for our recovery. Three, we can no longer blame people, places, or things for our addiction. We must face our problems and our feelings. The ultimate weapon for recovery is the recovering addict. Thank you for spending time with me tonight, Lucky.
All right, thank you too, Linda. Do you have? I can I ask you one more thing?
Yeah.
At the bottom right here, say the ultimate weapon for recovery is the recovering addict. What do you get when you first got here? What did you get from that?
That's a good question. And back when I was getting clean, there used to be a saying, and we don't say it as much as we used to, but stick with the winners. I didn't know what the hell a winner was, tell you the truth. I mean, was that a lottery? Was that somebody who went to the casino? I mean, And then I started to realize that it was people that were living life free from active addiction. And I didn't know how you do that. I thought for sure I'd be bored or something like that. And I started to have friends that had kids and were raising kids, and I would just watch the kids play thinking, wow, they're just like so innocent. And their parents are good to them. How does that happen? I mean, because that was so not my story. When I grew up, both my parents were addicts. I discovered I was an addict, and I have a story of having kids and giving them up for adoption and such because of my addiction. So the ultimate weapon for recovery is the recovering addict. So in the beginning, it was really the winners. Today, I would say, because I love doing hospitals and institutions, I think that the person who carries the message inside to the dark, desolate places is like that ultimate weapon of hope.
Wow. And I was just thinking for me, what I got out of it is like in our literature, like the just for the day, pretty much like if you hang around people that's using, you're going to use. In recovery, if you hang around people that's not using, 9 times out of 10, you won't use. That's what I feel like the ultimate weapon is, hanging around people that's not using, trying to find a new way to live. My name is Lucky. Thank you guys for letting me share, and hope you guys get some from this.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.